And you are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
Welcome to the Access Hour, where each week WORT offers you the opportunity to fly your program over the radio. The Access Hour is WORT's commitment to community access to the airwaves. For this hour, we have turned the airwaves over to a member of the public. The views expressed on the Access Hour do not represent the views of the station, its staff, programmers, or the board of directors. We'd like this show to be as unpredictable as possible, so we need your creative ideas. It's a fair trade. You give us what you've got, and we give you the facilities and any help you need to get your program airborne. So let your mind wander and wonder. And when the inspiration for some pretty good radio glows with a clear, bright light, get in touch. Just go to WORTFM.org and look on the left side for Sign Up to Host an Access Hour. Programs are scheduled first come, first served. And now it's time to begin another foray into the freest form program on the WORT schedule, the Access Hour.
Support for this program comes from Greater Madison Music City. Through proven strategies, success stories, and challenges, the Music City Circuit presented by Greater Madison Music City will highlight music tourism's role as a driver of urban transformation, offering valuable insights on how to shape our future as a music city while empowering our local musicians and music-related businesses. The Music City Circuit, coming soon to select streaming platforms. More information at ourgmmc.org.
Hi there, my name is Amy Ginkgo, and tonight is the third installment of Ask Amy. I am thinking about changing the name to Ask Us, because for the second time, I am joined by another therapist who I will have introduce herself.
Hello, I am Rainbow Mary Frog.
We're both Wisconsin licensed and insured psychotherapists working in the Madison area. And I just wanted to start out by saying I love Madison. This is my beloved city and community. And the topic tonight is a big one. It seems to be affecting pretty much everyone. We were talking before the show. It's affecting all of my clients, my friends, my family. And how we're phrasing it tonight is how the quote-unquote heaviness of the world or our country, current policies that are happening, how they're affecting our individual mental health and how we can balance getting information with protecting our mental health, how we still maintain some stability, adventure, joy, etc., peace, while suddenly feeling sort of in this whirlwind of chaos and confusion is the words I've heard a lot being used. So we don't want to get too political in this show. You can call with your questions. This is a live call-in show. Should have said that right away. 608-256-2001. That number again, 608-256-2001. And you can have questions. You can also just add to the discussion. If you have discovered ways to cope better through these troubled times, a lot going on, wars that are very much affecting us personally. We see a lot of images that can deeply be traumatizing. We feel a responsibility to see them often. And they have real world effects on our stress levels, our health, our mental health, hearing the word helpless a lot, which is definitely a major contributor to trauma, and loss of sleep. I just heard before we came on the show, two different people saying they're not sleeping very well anymore with so many worries, individual worries, national worries, and worldly worries on all these different levels, feeling of threat and feelings of fear.
Grief.
And yeah, why don't you add to the introduction here?
I mean, just the crushing grief of, you know, people fearing that their family members will be deported or that their rights will be taken away or they will lose their jobs. You know, sitting with client after client, it's very aware. I mean, I'm very aware that it's not just affecting one or two people, but all of us.
And it seems like a lot of the immediate policies and executive orders were targeting already marginalized groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, my first thought was, oh, they're protected by the Constitution. Well, where is that now?
Mm-hmm.
The 14th Amendment, which was the, you know, can't discriminate against sex, religion, race, mm-hmm. sexual orientation. I was like, man, does that cover trans people? And when I did some research, I found, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, there was an Article 5 attached to Amendment 14,
mm-hmm.
or Title 14. I don't know how you say it, but that included gender identification. So most recently, this affected me personally because my child is trans, mm-hmm. and their new passport has an X in the gender spot.
Mm.
And they were going to Europe this summer, and we don't know if we're supposed to get a new passport. And I felt rage over this.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of my child, very proud of all people who are living their lives authentically in an already scary environment, and then to be told, oh, no more of this. This doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And right now, they are no longer issuing passports with an X, but they're saying that previously issued ones have it. But there's this fear, of course, that that could change any second.
Right, right.
So these marginalized groups are the ones being targeted the most, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, and just thinking about, you know, it's not easy. It wasn't easy already living in our country with whether we have medical bills, student loans. You know, there's a lot of pressure on us. And then to feel that so on so many different fronts that things are changing rapidly and there's chaos and confusion. It's taking a lot of extra care to maintain our mental health, to, you know, be making sure that we're feeling our feelings, we're expressing our concerns, finding a good balance between taking action and also resting and being in communities where we feel safe and seen and heard. One of the things that has been coming up a lot in session is just this deep sense of destabilization.
Yes.
Both on the inside, but on the outside as well.
Right. Which feels like the goal, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If it's not the goal, it's definitely a strong side effect.
Yeah.
and certainly when we feel destabilized, it's like losing your compass in the middle of a thick wood, you know? It's like hard to find your way.
The other thing too, it's like some of these recent policies are trying to get people to turn against each other.
Right.
So one of my therapist friends at the VA got an email from the federal government saying you have to report anyone you think might be a diversity, equity, and inclusion hire.
Wow.
So how are you supposed to be determining to guess that?
Well, you know the ways. Yeah.
The color of their skin, their sexual orientation, their gender identity. Yeah. Are they here legally? Like, it's so gross.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was just today. This wasn't necessarily turning people against each other, but Elon Musk issued an edict to federal employees to say five things they accomplished last week.
Right.
And some agencies are telling them, go ahead and do that. Some are saying not to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's total confusion.
Yeah.
And then it's this constant drumbeat, too, that is making people feel terrified.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get rid of the EPA. We're going to get rid of the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, all these things that we rely on as everyday people.
Yeah.
To give us hope, to give us stability.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to lowering our price of groceries?
Right.
It was all this other stuff that happened first.
Mm-hmm.
And people can call in 608-256-2001. 608-256-2001. If you want to share how any of these policies have affected you personally, how you're feeling the last few months, what you're doing to cope with it. One of my friends has gone all the way to not watching any news at all.
Mm-hmm.
No longer even recording like Stephen Colbert or any of the late night guys, because mm-hmm. they will mention what's going on. So some people are coping by completely sticking their head in the sand.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a balance, you know, of like, I think NPR this morning had a show on like 2 weeks with people having very limited access to their smartphones. Like, they noticed improved mental health, improved sleep, improved all these areas. And so it is a balance between staying informed while also having boundaries around what types of media I consume, how much time I'm consuming them. So it's definitely a dance of finding what's working for each person. And also, I think not trying to limit the amount where you're just sitting alone at home, yeah, listening,
yeah,
and getting out and being in community. I think it was February 5th, the last protest that I could attend. I just, in between sessions, ran down to the Capitol, and it gave me such a boost to see so many people expressing their thoughts and feelings about what's happening. And there were counter-protesters as well. And it's like, I'm of the belief, like, everyone speak what you're, you know. I mean, it is, we were also, you and I, Amy, were talking about how there's so much emphasis on us as different groups rather than fighting against the systems that are oppressing us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, on whatever side you're on, there's oppression in both places. And just remembering that we want to fight not each other,
yeah,
but these systems.
Exactly. And you just made me have a thought. That with these marginalized groups that are really being targeted, these vulnerable groups of,
yeah,
people, you don't have to understand, like, as a therapist, we treat a lot of people who we haven't had necessarily the experience they are coming to therapy for.
Mm-hmm.
So it just takes a tremendous amount of respect for what that person is sharing with us and us believing them.
Yeah.
And empathy. And because people are often confused to me about what transgender even is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've learned to come back to that with, do you need to?
Yeah, right. To, like, have empathy.
I don't know what that feels like,
yeah,
in your brain or in your body to,
yeah,
feel like you're in the wrong body and you have body dysmorphia and dysphoria, and I don't have to. I believe this person.
Yeah.
Why would they go through this?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it feels like to be gay or in a country, quote unquote, illegally.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a non-binary person I saw giving a great example of, like, you know, if my name is Michael and I say to everybody, hey, I want to go by Mike, nobody questions it. Nobody asks, why do you want to be called that? What is that about for you? That's weird. Your name is Michael. We just go, oh, yeah, okay, cool, because we just accept and have empathy for the other person and what they want to be called. And really, it's no different.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a question?
Yeah, and it's about respect, too, you know? Yeah. I don't think most people would lie about that stuff. And even if 1% of people were supposedly lying about these things, or who cares? Like, the way that the immigrants and transgender people are being portrayed right now as threats, like for trans kids going in the other bathroom, for example, that is outrageous to me. Most girls I know have been somehow sexually assaulted in their life. Not in the bathroom by a trans kid.
That's right.
It was in college or in high school.
Member.
A family member. Mm-hmm. You know, so creating these dangers where they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
If you're afraid for your daughter getting assaulted in a restroom somewhere, I wouldn't be afraid of the very rare trans person being in there, being the one who's going to harm that daughter.
Yeah.
And that's all made up.
You ask any kid what they're afraid of, and it's guns in their school.
Yeah. And they're doing code red drills, and mm-hmm. now they're afraid for their planet.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're afraid for the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the atrocities going on right under our noses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have a person who didn't want to come on the air and did not give a name. This is the question they gave. I have friends who are getting documents together in case they need to flee the country. These are white, cis, married couples. Or they are a white, married, cis couple. Are they overreacting? First, can you explain what this person means by cis, in case people don't understand that term?
Yeah, cisgender, it's a term we use to say that I identify as the gender I was born.
So this implies a heterosexual married couple.
It sounds
correct?
Like it.
Mm-hmm. White. So does this caller, they're asking, do we think this couple's overreacting?
Well, first of all, one rule of thumb in therapy is that it's really not my place to say whether I think the person is right or wrong in what they are thinking of doing. I would certainly want to know more. I also know, I don't think they're cisgender, but I know some white people that are also gathering documents, making plans. And it is that question of, it's hard to know when are we at that moment?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to be handing my child off to a stranger on a train because I'm scared for their life. And I get with this example, it doesn't sound like the people involved would be, I think we probably would have to go a long time before they would be the targeted group.
It's interesting because I feel like the person who called this in does think they're overreacting.
Right.
It does sound like. But we can't ask them that.
Yeah.
However, it also says to me that even the groups that are not marginalized
right.
are scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is that's saying something.
Right.
That the groups that are not necessarily being targeted, unless you're a federal employee, I guess,
mm-hmm.
are feeling this tremendous fear.
Yeah.
About their status, our freedom.
Yes. And I think there, you know, if you have a certain level of financial privilege or freedom, I could see how you could, you know, start thinking that it would be a good time to leave. Although I think Germany just elected a very conservative leader within the last couple days. Like, this is not strictly a U.S. problem. I
jokingly said to someone the other day, is this when people started leaving Germany?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, like, should I even be joking about that? Like, this is, like, serious.
Yeah.
I mean, there's already been, during the first Trump administration, there was a 200% increase in hate crimes during the course of that administration.
Mm, gosh.
Transgender suicides have gone way up. Transgender murders have gone way up. Mm-hmm. Please don't call in and ask me a source for those, but I believe it. I think a lot of violence can come from objectifying a lot of these people, mm-hmm. these groups. If we are not subjectifying, we are othering them. They are easier to then harm. They are easier to, and they're saying, turn in your coworkers, turn in your families. Mm-hmm. It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It's frightening.
And I tend to be a big believer. I mean, again, most of my clients are, you know, in some kind of marginalized group.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big believer in both and. So, like, preparing, yeah, gather the documents, do the research, while also making sure that you're also taking care of your present moment to moment mental health, you know, your well-being.
Yeah.
It's okay to be prepared.
Yeah.
While also living your life fully now.
I do love that. I love the both and, or having the and statement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am really scared and I still have to go for a walk today and exercise and meditate and eat, drink water, do my self-care, you know, carve out those things that give us normalcy. My kid, the other night, we were talking about all this, and they said, well, if I'm so worried about the future, I notice it's really taking me out of the moment. And here I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been practicing mindfulness for 25 years, and my kid had to remind me, like, be here now.
Right.
Be here
right.
now. Like, and you were talking about nature.
Mm-hmm.
Get into nature.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, in my office, you can see out some big windows and there's several trees. And I just even do the guided visualization of, like, tracing the tree all the way down to the ground and then visualizing the roots underneath and imagining that we can plug into the ground as well and also connect with the wisdom and the knowledge of really the unseen. The unseen realm, because that's another thing. I also, in addition to therapy, also do shamanic work. And we're being bombarded with so much in this earth plane. But there are vast realms, you know, in the unseen, vast energies that we can be drawing from right now to help bring stability, help bring protection, help, you know, I mean, I do believe that we are in a massive growth process, a massive revolutionary time. And it's very, very uncomfortable. And I think really no matter who was our leader, it would be uncomfortable. Awesome.
We have a caller on the line and I have a written question. But I also wanted to respond to that. Okay. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Tracy, and I wanted to add just a little bit of a different perspective to what we were talking about earlier with all the DEI issues. I have a son who has special needs. He's an adult now, and he relies on that exact type of thing in order to have a job. that sort of thing. And the programs that they support also help support him in his future. He's his job coaches, and eventually, between that and some of the Medicare, Medicaid money, that will affect him down the road if anything changes to that, because that's what's been counted on for him to be able to maybe enter a group home later or things like that. So our family now finds ourselves in the unique position of, okay, we had a plan, and now we just don't know.
Yeah.
Because the supports that we have been counting on may not be there.
That was one of the unseen groups I was thinking about today was people with disabilities and mm-hmm. Medicare and Medicaid. And so even those groups being targeted and knowing the wealth that some of these supporters around our president right now have, and juxtaposing that with the story you just shared with us mm-hmm. and the, I'm assuming, feelings of panic you would almost have about it. Like, what's going to happen?
It does now affect our thoughts on the future. We're approaching a time in our lives. My husband and I are already in our mid-50s, and we know down the road, probably not that far, we're going to need to place our son somewhere to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that concept in itself is scary. But now knowing, okay, is there going to be a place for him? Or what is the possibility of future, you know?
Well, Rainbow was just saying, I think that we're in this we're in this moment of human evolution and planetary evolution where I think it's maybe at its worst with including the Holocaust. I mean, I think this has stretched out for decades. I hope we're in this like darkest before the dawn phase. And that we're seeing the ugliest of human nature with greed and war and not sharing resources. I believe that. I hope that that's the case. That's kind of where you were going, Rainbow.
Yeah, but I guess like on a very practical level, it, you know, none of us know, or at least the ones of us that are having this conversation, we don't know. We have no idea what's going to happen. And that's where the fear and the destabilization comes from. And I think I also have clients that have Medicaid or Medicare, and it's like, you know, I can imagine turning them away because now they've lost their services. And I have to think that we would, just like people rallied to, you know, get people abortions when that became illegal. It's like, I want to believe that the good will triumph and that we will rally and come up with alternative systems. But it's terrifying.
Caller, are you still there?
Yes.
What have you reached out to any of the services you're currently getting with these concerns?
Not quite yet, but it's definitely in our thought process to determine exactly which programs are affected. I have seen some information come from like the autism, I think it's the Center of Southeastern Wisconsin or something, listing out the Medicaid programs that will be affected. And I recognize several of them as mm-hmm. ones we participate in. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the outskirts of keeping track of it, but it's definitely something that as this time goes on and we see it more and more that we need to just push this to the front of our minds and mm-hmm. figure out a future, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, again, like that and thing, like, okay, we need to start practically looking at what alternative plans we might need down the road. And mm-hmm. again, this is forcing us to be in the present, spending time with your son, enjoying the time with him, and trying to compartmentalize a little bit what could happen. Like, I mean, I just can't imagine our country literally disenfranchising everyone, basically. How would they even have a country mm-hmm. if they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like,
I'll let you go, caller. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Just making sure to be connected to communities. So like, get on, you know, unfortunately it's Facebook, but finding places to be, connecting with other parents who are in a similar situation. What are they talking about? Connecting. I love that you said that, like connecting with the providers you currently have, asking them, are they putting plans in place? Are they thinking about what they will do if that were to happen? And I think, you know, just it's important that we keep having those conversations so that we're not blindsided.
In a way, this could band a lot of us together because, like, I have a lot of Medicaid clients, and one of the first emails I sent was the director of, you know, Dane County's Comprehensive Community Services Program. And I said, you're probably getting bombarded with emails, but that was like the day, around the day that the administration turned off the Medicaid portals to the whole country.
Yeah,
I had clients who were not able to get their medication that day or be seen by providers that day. It was like flexing their muscle, like, oh, we can just flick a switch and millions of people aren't going to get their services. Well, one thing that happened was a lot of governors flew out of the shadows and were like, whoa, you cannot do that. And because a lot of state Medicaid programs are now funded federally, but like some astronomical number of people are on Medicare, Medicaid, or some governmental, you know, health care.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they turned it off that one day, I remember, was just so shocking. And that was a fear tactic. That was like terrorism in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because then everyone went fending for themselves. Like, is my money going to get cut off? Are my services going to get cut off? And then we forget, oh, we have to still be, you know, fighting for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So in a paradoxical way, this might end up banding a lot of people together in a way that couldn't have been predicted. I'm forever the optimist. So the other question that the person called in or wrote in was from Lori in Madison. And thank you for your call, Tracy, and thank you for going on air. Again, the number 608-256-2001, 608-256-2001. So this person says, I can't sleep at night thinking about everything happening in the country and the world. It's affecting my everyday life. How can I stop panicking?
Mm. Well, I'm a fan of Pema Chodron's book, When Things Fall Apart. I also, actually, my favorite book of hers is The Wisdom of No Escape. And while...
Say the author again.
Pema Chodron.
Yeah, I love her books.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are times in our life where, whether it's personal, this time it happens to be political or nationwide, but where we are confronting things in life that we don't know how they're going to turn out, or we don't know what the outcome will be, how we're going to navigate it. And it's one of those very powerless moments. And so the feeling the effects of it, I can't sleep, I feel more irritable, I feel like I don't have an appetite, or, oh my gosh, I'm just using food to help comfort me right now. Like, whatever the ways are, it's like, first of all, having some compassion to self and to the parts that are struggling. And then doing our best in the moment to, you know, understand that we are powerless over what choices our government will make next. And other governments. But we also have a lot of choice in the moment. And so, you know, similar to how Mr. Rogers always said, like, to look for the helpers.
I said that in a session today.
Yeah.
And I said, not just the helpers, the love.
Mm-hmm.
The people who are trying to love on everyone, like me and you, we're just like love on everyone.
Yeah, but we have to remember that there are things
there's way more of those people than the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like, so for example, like with this caller situation, a few days ago, last week, I think, they released the two bodies of hostages that were children.
Yeah.
One was a baby and one was a four-year-old, siblings. And they showed images of the mother covering them with like a blanket when they were first kidnapped. And her face had this look of sheer terror on it. Mm-hmm. She was killed too. Mm-hmm. They said they were returning her remains. So far as I know, they haven't.
They did, I think.
That was stuck in my head for like 3 or 4 days. And it keeps coming up. So the sadness that I feel for that family, for the husband, the father of the babies, for the people who lost their lives, then I feel more grateful for my safety, or my perceived safety, safety of my child. Like, how do we, this like this person saying, stop panicking at night with so much happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, should we be grateful that we are the ones that are alive right now to experience this, hold space for such horror and make it stop? Mm-hmm. That we are hopefully going to be in a position at some point to make it stop.
Mm-hmm.
With our vote, with our money, with our whatever, however we're going to try and affect the peace in the world. My mom bravely called someone out at the groceries. My mom is the most like sweet, shy person ever. She never says a peep, like in public. Like, and she was at the grocery store or something, and she was having a perfectly pleasant conversation with this man in line with her. And then he said something really off color about one of these policies. And she went right back at him with, no, that's not how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's those small little actions that are going to be drops of water, the drip, 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 how the Tao Te Ching says the water carves out the rock,
mm-hmm.
that love will prevail, peace will prevail. And how does that get us through these horrific images we're seeing and our own personal stress about our own, how all these policies are affecting our situation? I don't know if this caller means, well, they said everything happening in the country and the world.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And we're being asked on one level to run into the tiger's mouth, you know, like we're being asked to face evil, to face a fear,
death.
And we're, you know, many, many, many before us have faced these things and are facing these things. And so I think, again,
displacement.
Yep. It's like that's where it comes back to the basics. Like right now, I'm sitting on a chair. I'm in a room with a lovely woman. And I'm safe. And I have my feet on the ground. And the ground is stable. I'm warm enough. You know, it's like those moments to presence.
And like you brought up Pema Chodron, she teaches too, and in Buddhist teachings, to embrace the uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
to truly embrace the unpredictable nature of life.
Because that's the only thing that's true.
That's the only thing that is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
That change will keep happening. You know, I lost my husband almost four years ago, unexpectedly. And we've all had these kinds of losses. It is the hard way to learn that lesson of like, you don't know, not even before all this was happening.
Right.
We don't know one moment to the next. So part of, I think, our human condition is to truly accept that.
Mm-hmm.
We can plan. You know, maybe that's why these people are planning, the cis white couple getting their papers together. Well, sure. Did you have a response to that?
Which part?
I don't know. You wrote something down, so I thought maybe.
No. No, so, I think, you know, like, it's again, when you sit with the discomfort, where does it take you? Mm-hmm. Does it take you into grief? And where can you feel your grief? Like, who can you feel your grief with? Because we can't think our way into a better state. It really comes from the doing. So, like, this month, I started in a community choir that I am loving. Mm-hmm. And it's like we go and we're gathering with other people and we're singing, and there's mm-hmm. just so much joy in the room, which feels like a revolutionary act in a time like this. But it is brightening me. It's helping fuel me so that then I do have more energy to call my representatives or write a letter or donate money or go out and protest. It's like it gives me that inspiration for why am I here? Why am I, you know, even, you know, breathing? What contribution can I make?
Interesting, because a lot of what I'm seeing on social media is create.
Yeah,
that's been a reaction. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot from people create. And you brought up a little bit ago, like other realms or auras, and one of my favorite books is Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Meese, and she ties together a lot of different spiritual traditions and ties them together with like the seven energetic chakras. And the second chakra is the one that's about security, fear, money, sex, partnerships, you know, security in many different forms, mm-hmm. and creativity,
right?
Birth. And birthing projects or art, music, whatever it is, it's all located in that area. So it makes sense that with your singing, you had more energy mm-hmm. to then have a voice.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
To do these other things that were otherwise blocked. You know, I won't be surprised if people start having a lot of health issues in that area of the body. Mm. And people are clenching a lot. One of the things that this person can do that's not sleeping very well is go into your body and do that exercise where you clench every part one at a time and release it.
Yeah.
Oh, and the last thought I had about really embracing uncertainty. Mm-hmm. There's a freedom in that. One of the side effects of that is a freedom.
Yeah.
Not that you don't care what happens. But it's knowing where we can affect things. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it is by our example. You know, we're not really supposed to talk about calls to action on air. And so I'm not doing that. I'm just saying then, like this first letter we got about people fleeing. Like, at what point do people want to try and fight back, like literally mm-hmm. fight back mm-hmm. or pack their bags mm-hmm. or.
Yeah, Jane Fonda just won like a Lifetime Achievement Award over the weekend. What was that? The SAG Screenwriters mm-hmm. Guild, I think. But she gave a massive call to action and talking about, you know, all of the brave acts of power of, you know, being hit with batons during the civil rights movement, being hit with water cannons, you know, during the pipeline protests of native country or native land. And just, you know, like, who are we ready? Are we ready to have that much courage?
Civil disobedience.
And draw from the depths of all of the people that have stood courageously before us.
Oh, You just made me think of the insurrectionists being pardoned. There's been so much in a month and a half.
Yeah.
To have big feelings about.
Yeah.
That's why we're having this topic tonight. It's so big. There's so much.
Yeah.
I mean, even one of these policies or one of these wars or one of these things we could fill a whole show about. We still have time for more callers. 608-256-2001. That's 608-256-2001. You can let us know how the current state of the world and the country might be affecting you personally, or ask us a question. Yeah. Do you want to talk a little more about trauma, Rainbow?
Sure.
And how people might not even be realizing that they're being traumatized.
Well, one of the hallmarks of trauma, as you said earlier, is the feeling of powerlessness, that something is happening to me that I don't want and I can't stop it, and I don't can't find how I can have control over this situation, and that feeling of helplessness. And I think it's important to name it, to name that that is the experience, and to find, again, community where we can talk about that feeling, those feelings. For a lot of people who've had any kind of childhood trauma, it's very reactivating because the, you know, the feelings are very similar. It's like things are happening to me that I don't want, or things are happening to people that I love or care about that I don't want to have happen to them. And so it's important that we realize that our nervous systems are being affected.
Yes. That's why we're not sleeping.
Right.
That's why, exactly, maybe getting more depressed, more anxious.
Yeah. And for anyone who's a parent, to understand that your children are feeling it too, whether it's because of climate change and they realize, like, they have no idea what their futures will look like because they don't know what the planet will, what state the planet will be in. But yeah, it can be very re-stimulating of all kinds of childhood trauma, other times where we've experienced trauma in our lives. And therapy is a great place to bring that. I have had several clients who had stopped therapy because they were feeling really good, recently come back to therapy because they're feeling very activated by all the things that are happening.
The reason the music at the beginning of the show was Under Pressure by Queen was because I felt like that's how a lot of us are feeling. Whether we're in one of these targeted, marginalized, vulnerable groups or not, we know someone who is, or we, even the cis white couple packing their go bag, or, you know, that's how much it's affecting people. And when you think about pressure, what's the opposite of that? It's release. And I've started doing some little rituals, like lighting a candle for those babies that the remains were, and the fear that mother felt.
Yeah.
I can feel it in my body right now. I let myself finally cry about them.
Yeah.
Because I kept thinking, oh, it's a cerebral thing. I'm just watching the news. I let myself cry later about them.
Good.
And prayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really talk about prayer a lot. And people might ask, well, who are you praying to? And a lot of times I say, anyone who might be listening. Like, I don't know. But it helps me. Like, you know, like you said, there may be these other realms. I believe that. And so I'm always asking my late husband to please help. Please help us. And I get this sort of message back, like, oh, we are. Just wait. Yeah. Okay, we have a caller. Yay! Caller, you are on the air.
Hello, Amy. It's Mia.
Hi, Mia.
Hi. I was calling in. I was able to listen to you ladies a little bit. I came in kind of late. But I don't know. I was just wondering y'all ideas on, like, the bird flu and, like, RSV, you know, like, I don't know. I've been starting to think about COVID now with, like, all this sickness going around. And I didn't know how you ladies felt about that.
Yeah, well, just thanks for calling. We can just add that to the heap.
Yeah.
Of all the fears going on. And they're real. Mm-hmm. They're not. Mm-hmm. In fact, some people think they're being downplayed right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that.
Yeah. But there's a lot of sick people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's one way that fear and destabilization and removal of rights and all of that, like, affects us in the body, right, is through illness. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah.
How are you feeling about it, caller?
I'm getting a little bit worried, you know, at times, because, I mean, one of my, like, colleagues, she was just out with RSV for, like, a week or two, and it kind of, like, really, you know, broke her body down and stuff, and, like, it just kind of reminded me of, like, COVID, you know, when I got COVID and, like, how it affected me, you know, and everything. And so, like, you know, I just have that fear, like, are we going to go into a shutdown again, you know? And then it's like, do I need to be preparing myself for something like this? You know, I don't know.
I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the call when we were talking about the using the and statement, like doing both and. How would you apply that here, Rainbow?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's smart of you to be thinking of that. Those thoughts have been crossing my mind as well. I was talking to my kiddo who's, you know, really not wanting to have to experience another shutdown during her schooling. But so to think about, you know, are there steps that you could start taking to feel prepared? So almost like imagining that you have parts inside that are like, this is feeling scary, and I know a lot of sick people, and so I want to help those parts of me feel calmer by maybe taking some steps to protect myself from getting sick, like whipping out those masks and the hand sanitizer again, and like feeling like, you know what I mean? At the same time that you know, like, appreciate your body for the areas that you feel well, and like, hey, look, I'm not sick right now, or, you know, I think doing both is really important.
And not as a call to action, but looking into things that can boost your immune system. I use zinc, vitamin D. We have one more caller. I kind of want to take that since we're going to run out of time. But thanks for calling, Mia.
Yes. Thank you, ladies. Thanks for what you're doing and everything. Y'all have a nice night.
Thank you. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Amy. Hi, Rainbow. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Wish we had like 3 hours, but yeah.
So I've been listening to your the show, and I really like it so far. I just want to add a few things.
Yeah. Thank you. Please.
Yeah. So some of the things, you know, this everything that's going on right now is kind of bothering me too. So I've been doing hobbies. I've been creating more hobbies and whatnot. Just get my mind off certain things. That definitely helps.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Exactly. Yeah. Creativity, like getting out there. What are some of your hobbies?
Yeah.
About a year ago, I started doing a podcast. I talk about mental health and veterans issues.
Nice.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You're one of us.
So, I am Tim. I actually know you guys.
Oh. Tim, my friend Tim.
Yes.
So you're very familiar with trauma. With the veterans.
I am very familiar. Mm-hmm. And so hobbies, you know, I'm a huge sports fanatic too. So,
and I understand you love to. I understand you love to knit.
Knit? No, I'm not like to knit. I've never done that in my life. No,
I'm just teasing.
That's funny.
I've known him for 10 years. So yeah, I know he doesn't knit. But a lot of people knit. A lot of people like to knit.
Yeah, there is some knitting. Yes, you can knit. Podcasting, knitting.
What other hobbies? Anything else that's helped take your mind off? So, and also the podcast is contributing. It's giving back, you know, trying to help.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I've been volunteering at the hospital, sitting with people who are dying.
Right.
And that's been
comforting. I also do a few other things. I enjoy working out too, just listening to music, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really watch the national news that much. Maybe some local news on occasion, but yeah, I try to focus more on like what's not going on, because the more I know what's going on, the angrier I get, and I don't like being angry.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. there's just nowhere. And like Rainbow said earlier, follow that through. Where does that take you, the anger or sadness? And so that's what I've been trying to do too, is like I'll get so angry about something. I'll sit with my feelings, and usually for me, it leads to crying or, you know, sadness, and then it goes away, kind of. It does release, like that whole pressure versus release thing. Thanks for calling, Tim. I think I have to start to do my thanks. I have 3 minutes. Okay, thanks, Tim.
Yep.
See you Sunday.
Yeah, see you Sunday.
Badgers versus the Spartans. I'm an alumni of the MSU Spartans, and now I'm a Badger mom, so
that's right.
I'll root for both teams, I guess. I want to thank Adrian for our engineer and producer, giving citizens the airwaves to exercise our First Amendment rights. So awesome. I love this program. Thank you to Rainbow. I hope you come back every time, and the name will be Ask Us. And Ken for taking the calls and being just an amazing human.
Yeah.
Like, we had a talk with Ken for 20 minutes before we came on the show, and that's what this is all about, connecting with other people and trying to help and be one of those helpers that Mr. Rogers, I almost called him Dr. Rogers. Probably had an honorary doctorate from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Any last message?
Yeah, so I think I loved that, Tim, you brought in the hobbies, working mm-hmm. out. I think grounding, connecting with people that bring you joy.
Mm-hmm.
Even
laughter.
Yep. Watching a comedy. But also, it's okay to feel your feelings. Like, it's okay to go to therapy and cry or express your rage. Or, I mean, working out is a great place to find empowerment. You might, you know, feel sluggish. I think, what do they say about working out, that you don't feel the benefits till after you've done it? But it can feel like giving yourself spaces to have those releases.
Yeah. I started stretching more.
Yeah, me too.
And walking.
Yep.
And those are simple, not like, it's not like going running. Like, I'm not a big runner. Like, I need exercises that are gentle and enjoyable. And they're helping me physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Same. I've never been recommending cardio as much as I have been. Oh, we're going to be cut off. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, callers. Thanks for listening tonight.
Thanks, Amy.
And spread the love. That's the way to go.
You've been listening to The Access Hour. The Access Hour is WORT's commitment to community access to the airwaves. For this hour, we have turned the airwaves over to a member of the public. The views expressed on The Access Hour do not represent the views of the station, its staff, programmers, or the board of directors. Remember, though, that this show relies on your ideas. An application to produce a program can be found on the internet at wortfm.org. Look on the left side for sign up to host an Access Hour. Music, talk, comedy, drama, or whatever can be conveyed over the radio, the Access Hour is anything you want it to be.
And you are listening to WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
FPC Live presents Murder by Death, Farewell Tour, with Laura Jane Grace, on Friday, July 18th, at the Sylvie. Formed in 2000 in Bloomington, Indiana, Murder by Death have spent 25 years carving a resolute DIY path with their special blend of literary orchestral rock. But after playing hundreds of shows around the country, making many albums and many fans, the band is going on one last ride and then hanging up their instruments. Says founding guitarist Adam Turla, "On the one hand, we've had a long-running career where we got to make art for a living, but on the other, we have always eluded any kind of traditional success." Opener Laura Jane Grace is an American musician best known as the founder of the punk rock band Against Me. Tickets for the show are available at thesylvie.com. FPC Live presents Murder by Death Farewell Tour with Laura Jane Grace on Friday, July 18th at the Sylvie. Live music lives at WORT Madison.